Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry. They order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. And if you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths, old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding the promise both for the present life and the life to come. Let's bow together. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to enliven us, to give us ears to hear. How often you said in your word, he who has ears, let him hear, and how often the people heard but did not hear. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear all that your word has to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul writes to Timothy and he tells him that things are going to get worse as time goes on. He says the Spirit clearly says. There's no doubt about this. This isn't something that we can say, well, this is a matter of personal opinion, or, you know, people will always say things like, well, you know, you can interpret the Bible any way you want, but Paul says that is not the case. The Spirit clearly says. This is clearly taught. It is clearly announced. It is told both here and in a number of passages. We will look at several of them. That the Spirit says that things are going to get worse as time goes on. And in the latter days, it is going to be bad. Jesus himself said that. He wouldn't say when he was going to come back. They asked him, what's the date? What's the time? When are you coming back? And Jesus said, that's not for you to know. And you know how much time people spend trying to guess the date or guess the time or guess the year, and they're always wrong. But he did say that conditions would worsen as time goes on. Look with me at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus has been speaking to his disciples. They asked him three questions. They asked him in verse 3 of Matthew 24, tell us, when will this happen? When will the temple be destroyed? What will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the end of the age? And Jesus answers all those three questions. He talks about how there'll be not one stone left upon another, that Titus will come in and will destroy. But then he spends most of his time talking about his coming and the end of the age. And he says this about the sign of his coming. He says in verse 9, then you will be handed over to be persecuted. And you will be put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. I was listening the other day to one of these talking head programs, and there was a woman on there who talked about how, well, I don't mind Christians, but these Bible-believing Christians, as though they're some other kind, are just as bad as the fundamentalist Muslims. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't. How many bombs did any of you set this week? She went on about how they had to be rid from the government and how their teaching had to be driven out from the government. The reporter who was interviewing her didn't question that in the least. In fact, he lobbed her several softball questions that allowed her to spew even more of her venom. The time is coming in this country when Christianity, true Christianity, as opposed to false Christianity, will not be tolerated. And the push will be become one of the false ones or else. You can see that happening as it's already happening in many parts of the world. Last century, from the year 1900 to 1999, 20th century, more Christians died for their faith than all the 19 centuries before that added together. At least 20 million Christians were killed for their faith in that century. Already in the first 7 years of this century, that number is being surpassed. Jesus says you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death and hated. And he says, and at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. I was listening to a tape by a Christian ministry that was proposing the problems here in America and to how to solve them. And they used as an example a man that was persecuted because he had witnessed to a homosexual and had told him that God could deliver him from his sin. The man reported him for hate crimes. He was arrested and charged with a felony hate crime. That happened in America. And it wasn't even in California, it was in Wisconsin. But then as they went on, and the man said, but you know, when I found out that I could lose my house and that I could go to prison for 5 years, I signed a deal and admitted that I had done this and went and had re-education training. Why? Have we become so afraid in America that we're not willing to go through and stand up for the truth? But it says, at that time many will turn away. And then notice what he says in verse 11. And many... And you need to underline that word, many. We're not talking one, we're not talking two, we're not talking three, we're talking many. They come repeatedly over and over again. When one disappears, eight pop up to replace him. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. I had someone ask me, I had a number of people ask me a while ago, why are you always going on about what other people say? Why don't you just leave alone what other people are saying? Because Jesus didn't. Jesus said many false prophets will appear. And there are a bunch of false prophets. They have appeared and will appear and deceive many people. And because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Some of you are my age or better. Those of you who are my age or better, do you remember what it was like in school? Do you remember when it was an uncommon thing for there to be sexual activity in school? When it was the common thing for people to wait for marriage? Wickedness has increased. Do you remember the time when it was held up that lying was wrong? Do you remember the story, true or false, whatever it was, that was told about George Washington chopping down the cherry tree? It was held up that people should tell the truth no matter what the cost. People aren't taught that anymore. That's why 85 to 90% of the people in America say it's all right to lie, as long as it gets you out of trouble. The love of most will grow cold. My father tells about the time when if there was a man in a uniform on the highway, you stopped and picked him up. That a soldier could go from one side of this country to the other without a car and do it just about as fast as if they were driving themselves. Who here stops and picks up hitchhikers today? Anybody? Iniquity has increased and love grows cold. But I want you to notice verse 13. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. We live in a day when it says anybody will be saved no matter what. But Jesus said the one who stands firm to the end, they're the one that will be saved. And so Paul says to Timothy, you need to warn in the latter days there will be people who will abandon the faith. Look at what Mark adds to this in Mark 13, 22. Because we see this happening today, and we see the Benny Hinns and the others like that that talk about the great miracles. Notice Mark chapter 13, 22. And in Mark 13, 22, Mark adds something of Jesus' words that Matthew did not. For he says, for false Christs and false prophets will appear, which is what Matthew said, but he adds, and perform signs and miracles. And we live in an age when people believe that a miracle is proof that what the person who does the miracle says is true. We have many, many people defending their ministry, not because it accords itself with the Word of God, but because they did a miracle. And God does miracles. There are people in this room that have been recipients of miracles that God has done. But you know what? The devil can do miracles too. And the Bible says that the Spirit clearly says in the latter days, many will abandon the faith. Look with me at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. We live in a day in which the happy preacher, the preacher that blows smoke up your nose, is the one that everyone wants to hear, but that is not what the Bible calls a man of God too. Here's what Paul says about his ministry. Paul says in preaching to the church and educating the elders at the church at Ephesus, in verse 28 he says, I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. We live in a day in which savage wolves don't have to physically be present. They can come to you over the radio, over the TV, through the mailbox. Men that won't spare you. He says, even from your own number, men will arise. Some people that were right there in that church that had been there for the 18 months he had preached the gospel, some of them would turn on Christ and would become false teachers in order to draw away disciples after them. Notice what Paul says to them. He says, so be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Paul's ministry wasn't have a happy thought for the day. It was, we are in a struggle and there are people out to destroy you. And you need to survive till the end. You need to hold firm in the face of them. And that's why Paul says to Timothy, notice what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. And he says, verse 6, notice what he says in verse 6. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister. Would to God that every person who goes to a church would measure their pastor by how often they point these things out. Not point out how to get rich, not point out how to have a happy this or a entertaining that. If you point these things out, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Paul says, Timothy, if you want to be a good pastor, if you want to be a good church leader, you need to be pointing out the struggle that lays ahead in the last days. I want you to notice what it says in verse 1. It says, they will abandon the faith. Now, that doesn't mean they stop calling themselves Christians. That's the trouble. They may abandon the faith, but they don't abandon the name. They stick around. Paul in Acts 20 called them wolves in sheep's clothing. They keep going on looking like a Christian. Look at what it says about Antichrist in Revelation. Look at the false prophet in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. Notice what it says about the false prophet, the ultimate false prophet, the one that all the others are a carbon copy of. Revelation 13, verse 11. It says, then I saw another beast, Revelation 13, 11, coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb. He looked like a sheep. But he spoke like a dragon. They look good, but they speak like the dragon. My daughter and I were having a conversation about one of the more famous false prophets in America today. Pastors, one of the largest churches in America today, always smiling, always happy. A heretic who rejected the faith of his father. And he's used that to build a monster church. And she was talking about how some of the kids at school says, what's wrong with that? Here they are in a great school where they're getting great teaching, and yet they're sucked in by a man who denies that Christ is the only way to heaven. By a man who has said that he will never mention sin because that just brings people down and his job is to build them up. Too bad he didn't read what Jesus said, huh? Because Jesus talked a little bit about sin, didn't he? But see, they won't stop calling themselves believers. They will continue to call themselves believers, but they've abandoned the faith. This person brags about how he doesn't believe what his father believed. He doesn't preach the way his father, and talks about how his father never would have built the church that it is now. Of course he wouldn't, because he preaches his father preached the truth. And then notice what else it says about these men. It says they follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Often we don't look for demon activity in the church, but that's exactly where Satan wants to be. If he corrupts the church, the world is lost. You want to look for demon-possessed people, don't look in the insane asylum, look in the seminaries. You say, that's being harsh. No, it's being honest. That's what Paul's warning about. Look in the pulpit. Look in the pews. I was reading the book of a gentleman who had had a person that he won to Christ out of the church, the official Church of Satan in America. And he said, they had a game plan that they taught in the church about how to become a church member and how to become a church leader. And they talked about their goal was to become an elder or a deacon in every church, because that's where they could cause the most problems. I want you to notice the path of these deceivers. It says about them, first of all, that they are deceived. They follow deceiving spirits. One of the most important things that you and I need to do as believers is we need to cultivate the ability to tell what is the true spirit and what is a deceiving spirit. Because deceiving spirits don't show up and say, "Hi, I'm the spirit of deception." Paul, writing to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 13, says, "Satan masquerades as an angel of light." You ever wondered why all these non-believers that have these near-death experiences and they're near death and they're hovering at the point of death and they come back from death and they said, "Oh, I saw a great light." Yeah, you did. His name is Satan. And he masquerades as an angel of light. They go on in 2 Corinthians 13 and say, so why would you be surprised that his ministers, his pastors, masquerade as ministers of righteousness? With callers, pious smiles. He says they follow deceiving spirits. Paul, writing to Timothy a little later in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. 2 Timothy 3:13 says this, "But evil men and seducers will grow from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." 2 Timothy 3:13. People often ask, do people really believe what they're saying? Sometimes they don't. Richard Owen Roberts will tell you how many pastors have come up to him and said, "Well, you know, if I preached the way you preached, my church would be empty." And he'd say, "So what?" What he's saying about that man is he knows exactly what he's doing. And that's the next thing. It says, not only do they have, are they deceived, but they become hypocrites. Hypocritical liars. Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, says this about them. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verse 3, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn aside their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths." They become hypocrites. The word hypocrite is the Greek word for an actor. I remember the old joke that was laughed about in seminary. They said, when you can preach with such sincerity that a tear flows down your cheek, oh, you're a good preacher. But when you learn to fake that, then you're a great preacher. Hypocrites. False faces. False pretensions. And then notice the next step of these false teachers. They, first of all, follow deceiving spirits. They're deceived by demons. Second of all, they become hypocritical liars. Third of all, notice their consciences have been seared with a hot iron. They reach the place where their conscience no longer has feeling. I don't know if you've ever been burned badly. Most people haven't. But the first thing that happens when you're burned is the nerve endings shrivel up and die. And nerves never regrow. And that place where you burned yourself becomes deadened to feeling. Can't feel a thing. He says their conscience has become that way. How could it be that so many people could fall into such gross sin and think not two thoughts about it? How could we have people that would steal hundreds of millions of dollars from the Church of Jesus Christ and not give it a second thought. Plunge into all kinds of wickedness and hypocrisy because their consciences were seared with a hot iron. Then last of all, notice the fourth thing it says about them. It says, they forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods. They make up commands that God has never said. They make up their own set of rules and say it comes from the Lord. We live in a day in which we live in a time of man-made rules. Do this, don't do that, you're allowed to do this. People make up rules as they see it. There is no one asking, what does the Word of God say? Let me ask you, have you committed yourself to being one that Jesus said will stand firm to the end? Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, First Corinthians, almost the very last thing he says to the Corinthians in that letter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, here's what Paul says is the upshot of all that he's been saying to him. He says, therefore. Now, why is that therefore, therefore? It's very simple. It is the culmination of what he's been telling them up to that time. The very next thing is he's going to go into his postscript and give them some things. This is the culmination of his theological writings. And he says, therefore, my dear brother, stand firm. Have you committed yourself? You're going to stand firm? Or are you a little shaky? Well, what's wrong with preacher so-and-so? You know, some of what he says is good. Let me ask you something. If I bring in a glass of your favorite drink, half full, and fill the other half with battery acid, who's going to drink it? Anybody here going to drink half their favorite drink mixed with battery acid? Yeah, how many times will we say, well, some of what he says is good? Okay, so it's not all battery acid. Is that an improvement? Have you committed yourself to stand firm? He says, let nothing move you. The problem in America is we are moved so easily. We're moved by personality. We're moved by success. We're moved by charisma. But he says, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Have you said, God, you come first? But seek first. Guys from the youth group, but seek. Come on, speak it out. But seek. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Everything else will be given you as well. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Everything that's not in Christ is in vain. It'll last no longer than the end of your life, and that may be today or tomorrow. If it's not done in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, with Christ, of Christ, for Christ, it won't survive 1 second past the end of your life. The Bible says that even those who are saved on judgment day, their lives will be put to the flamethrower. And everything that wasn't eternal will be burned away, and only what was eternal will be left. He says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Paul says to Timothy, this is a very serious thing, Timothy. The Spirit clearly says there's going to be false teachers in the last time. And if you're a good minister, you'll be talking about that regularly. You'll be pointing these things out. You'll be talking about these things because they're what matter. Because of them, multitudes perish. Some even abandon the faith. Is your heart set to follow the Lord? We used to sing songs like, though none go with me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Is that the cry of your heart today? Let's bow together. Lord, the Spirit clearly says in the latter days there will come deceitful teachers, people who follow doctrines taught by demons, and many will abandon the faith. Lord, help us not to be so cavalier, not to be so trusting, not to be so blind as to be deceived by hypocritical liars who, for the sake of dishonest gain, will sell us a bag of beans. Lord, help us to seek your truth, to know it, to love it. In Jesus' name, amen.